RSN 927's Talking Horses with Joe McKinnon.
Always good to talk horses with Joe McKinnon on a Sunday morning, and we had some technical hitches last week, Joe, where there was phone lines and everything taken down. First of all, we just want to check in on your safety.
Yes, I'm alive and well. Thank you, Warren. Hope you are too.
What's the week been like for you in your world?
Excellent, thank you. No complaints. It's nice to see the racing starting to really fire up again. Of course, we had the Great Magic Millions program last Saturday, but across in New Zealand yesterday, the Karaka Million meeting taking place. It's always a fantastic energy around that race meeting and turned up some great results. They should rename it the Tiakal Racing Show.
Yeah, Jamie Richards with three of the winners and signing off and heading towards Hong Kong. I think, Ellis is a great place to go to the races, full stop, but there looks to be a real buzz around that Karaka Millions meeting.
Yes, and traditionally it would lead into the beginning of the Karaka yearling sale, but unfortunately, due to COVID this year, the sale has had to be pushed back. The race meeting still took place, but the big sale, of course, now pushed back to early March. Andrew Seabrook, who is the managing director of New Zealand Bloodstock, is our special guest on the program this morning. How are you going, Andrew?
I'm really well, thank you, Joe. We had a fantastic night last night at the at Ellerslie, the Karaka Million. It was really nice going and not having to wake up this morning and go to the sale, to be honest. So a few of us could relax a bit more than we normally would and have a couple of drinks.
Yes, we'll talk more about all of that shortly. But firstly, reflecting on what was a fantastic race meeting, the orange and blue colours of Tiako are absolutely dominant, as they often are at this race meeting. But there are a number of milestone achievements for that team yesterday, weren't there?
Yeah, it was incredible. I mean, 6 2-year-old Karaka Million winners in a row for Tiako. Jamie Richards, what an incredible trainer he is. Still only 31 or two. He's trained the last six winners. Opie Bossom, ridden five out of the last six. So an amazing night for Tiako. And the winner, of course, by our man Zor Dynastic. And what a great thing that is for the New Zealand industry to have this young sire kicking off so well, and our man Zor for Cambridge Stud. So that was huge as well, Joe.
Yes, a huge meeting for Cambridge Stud, who have had their own sets of challenges in recent years as they restarted there under Brendan and Joe Lindsay. But fantastic to see now that they have such a talented stallion on their roster. They invested so much, and I'm sure negotiations were tough in securing a horse like that for their roster. But so meaningful that Dynastic should bring up his first global stakes winner and in New Zealand.
Absolutely, and that's just going to see his stock be in such high demand. Well, they already have been, of course, selling so well throughout Australasia, but just thrilled for Brendan and Joe. As you say, they've invested so much money and they've had a bit of bad luck along the way, losing two or three stallions, including Tavistock, but it looks like our man Zor is going to really put Cambridge on the map. Not that they needed to be put on the map, of course, but it's exciting times ahead for them.
Yes, no doubt he's got quite a number of yearlings in the Karaka yearling sale coming up now in March. We'll move on to that shortly. But a couple of the other highlights from last night's race meeting. How was the energy there? Normally it would be dotted with many people from all over the world who, of course, are there in New Zealand attending the sales. The race meeting was always a great entree to a big week of selling. How was the atmosphere different this time round?
I'll tell you what, it was still an amazing atmosphere, Joe. Look, we really miss the Australians. I mean, it's been 2 years now. God knows when we're going to see you again, but really missed the Australians last night. But I'll tell you what, it was a huge crowd. The turnover was massive. It's as big as we've seen. And I'm not sure if you've heard about the Boys Get Paid, but they had a punters club going and they got 660,000 in the pool, which has got to be a world record, surely, for a punters club. And they put through a huge amount of money, ended up returning 27% return on investment. So that was great. They brought about 1,000 people to the course, a lot of young people, under 30s. And it was a very vibrant, the atmosphere was fantastic. And there's some good positivity about New Zealand at the moment with our racing. So, just need to get the internationals back here, Joe.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's great news. Wonder if any of those punters that are now cashed up might splurge a bit of it at the sales, Andrew.
well, the head of it all, Luke Kimmies, actually, I had a caught up with him after the last race. He said, you know what, Andrew, I'm going to buy a couple of yearlings and marks for your sales. He actually bought one last year for the team, for the club. So that's great. I mean, it's easy getting the young ones to the races. That's the easy thing. But converting them to that next step is not always easy. So it's good that we're starting to see that happen.
Yeah, that is great. And, Andrew, another meaningful win yesterday on the program was that of Sword of State. Great to see that horse back with a vengeance at Ellerslie after what was a bit of a lacklustre campaign in Australia.
Yeah, you didn't see his best, the best of him in Australia, and nice to see him win the sprint race there. So well for Brendan and Joe Lindsay. So that just ticked off a great night all round for them.
Yeah, so their colours winning the race named in honour, of course, of their star stallion Al Manzoor, the Group 3 Cambridge Stud Al Manzoor Trophy going to Sword of State. Quite incredible, isn't it, now, the influence that Brendan and Joe are having on New Zealand racing, and they're just so genuinely passionate about seeing it progress.
Yes, they are. I mean, it's their stud business, it's their racing business. They've got so many horses in work throughout New Zealand and Australia. I'd hate to think how many they've got in work. I'd hate to be paying their training bill, but they're so passionate. They put back into the game with sponsorship, and I talked to Brendan last night after our man Zorb won that two-year-old race at the Million, and he was just absolutely delighted. But the first thing he said to me was, this is just great for the industry. He didn't even mention Cambridge Stud. Just great for the industry, and so let's hope he's our next champion stallion.
Yeah. And moving on now to a discussion around the upcoming Karaka yearling sale. Andrew, you've had to reschedule the plans for that. It's now taking place in March. How challenging has this time been for you as the head of the organisation?
It's been very challenging. Just before I'll quickly just mention that Pin Me Up won the three-year-old million-dollar race last night, Joe, and that was fantastic. It was bought by Andrew Williams, who couldn't be here for a Sydney accountant, Peter Collier. So that was great for Andrew Williams and Peter to win that million-dollar three-year-old race for the last crop of pins. But, it's been a very challenging time, Joe, and we put the sale, back to March in the hope that the borders would be open, and with our primary mission trying to get the Australians back. And, the Australians spend 50%, of the turnover here, sort of 40 or 50 million to sales. So, it's a bit of pill to swallow when we can't get the Australians to our sale. So we put a proposal to government. We've got a new hotel here on site that's opening a week before the sales. We put a proposal to government where we would fly 120 Australians into New Zealand, pick them up at the airport, take them to the Cracker Complex and treat them like their own little bubble and so they could attend the sales and what have you. Tried really hard and thought we were making progress, and then Omicron came along and the government sort of said, well, no, we can't make that happen. So it's very disappointing. But anyway, onwards and upwards. It was great to see the successful sale of the Gold Coast a couple of weeks ago. So that gives us confidence that there's still plenty of money to be spent. If you go through that list of buyers at the Gold Coast, there's still a lot of traditional Australian buyers didn't get to put their hand up. So they'll still buy here, just a matter of how much, Joe, we're still confident that we'll get through it okay.
Yeah. Well, you would be very confident after the results on the Gold Coast. Were you expecting that sale to perform as well as it did? I mean, how are you approaching the yearling market this year off the back of what's been a boom time, but how long can it keep going?
Yeah, well, it's such a resilient industry, isn't it? But, we look across the Tasman to see look at your stake money and how successful that is, and the demand from Australians for our tried horses here is huge. I mean, we've never seen that before. And the ready-to-run sale, the Australian spend here was fantastic. It's I don't know when it'll stop, but as long as the Australian industry is going so strong with prize money and what have you, we're going to be the benefactor of that over here in New Zealand. And the New Zealand horse has performed so well in Australia, and I think it's best we have for a few years. It's like the good old days and winning all the derbies and what have you. That certainly helps. And look, I I know the Aussies are devastated they can't get here. And I've had so many calls and texts from leading trainers and buyers from Sydney and Melbourne the last couple of weeks, just, you know, saying how frustrated they are they can't get over here. But, no, we take great heart from the sales at the Gold Coast. And, you know, we'll be doing all we can to engage with the Australians and all the agents here. We'll be looking at the horses and getting great notes. The quality of the videos is going to be even better than ever. And so we're going to try and make it as close to possible as being at Karaka. That's not going to be the same, I know, but we're doing everything we can to try and make it as easy as possible for Australians to be confident they can still buy here.
And thankfully, Andrew, so much can now be achieved for both sellers and buyers in the online space.
Yeah, I mean, that's really come a long way, and we've got COVID to thank for that. One good thing that's come out of COVID is it's just brought the whole industry, how shall I put it, it's just so transparent now. You know, there's nothing hidden. There's all the, you know, the weights, the heights, the different surgeries horses have had, and just the quality of their videos and photos and all the information now. And it's really given people a lot of confidence to buy. And, you know, at our ready-to-run sale in November, over 50% of the horses were bought online, which is amazing. The year before that, it was 20%. Quite incredible. You know, over $10 million just spent online out of a $20 million sale. So, you know, and I think New Zealand's probably going to be the benefactor of that more than most countries in the world because of our remoteness, you know. And so long term, I think it's going to be good for us. But short term, we just want to see the Australians and Hong Kong, Singapore, and not to mention the other countries. So, anyway, we still think it'll go pretty well, Joe.
Andrew, thanks so much for joining us this morning, and congratulations to you on your team chartering these very tricky waters over the past couple of years. New Zealand, one thing that won't stop is the country producing so many top-class horses that eventually come here and race in Australia.
Exactly. That's what we, you know, lay our head on, and hopefully that success continues, and hopefully the Australians will continue to support us like they have been. We'd be a lot worse off without them. So thanks for having me on, Joe. Appreciate it.
Andrew Seabrook there from across in New Zealand. Challenging times for the industry there, Warren, but they're doing well.
They are, and I suppose El Mansour, his progeny was so well sought after first time they were selling in New Zealand, and to win the two-year-old million is a great result there, as you outlined there with Andrew, not just for Cambridge, but for the industry in general. Tavachi's kicking goals, you know, over here in Australia. So it probably was time for some, you know, from some new blood rather than the, you know, the traditional Savabeels and the Tavistocks, etc. So it does look like the industry over there are doing everything they can to try and stay relevant and rejuvenate.
They certainly are, Warren, and I believe we're going to take a little break, and when we come back we'll chat with Rosemont Stud Principal Anthony Mithen. A big day for them at the Valley yesterday with an exciting two-year-old prospect now headed to the Blue Diamond.
Well, Joe, we'll find out the relevance of Elton John and Tiny Dancer shortly, because it was a big day with a debutante, Count the Headlights, at Moonee Valley yesterday. And Anthony Mithen and his team have been very busy up at the Gold Coast. They were very busy before the Gold Coast with a Bucks Day and massive celebrations after a day at Flemington. So it's been a big life in the month of Mitho. It's probably time to catch up with him, Joe.
It sure is, Warren. And the cleverly named Count the Headlights, a real highlight at the Valley yesterday. The two-year-old colt by I Am Invincible out of Tani Dancer, hence the name Count the Headlights, part of the lyrics of that very well-known Elton John song. And Anthony Mithen joins us this morning on the program. Did you pump out that tune a bit last night to celebrate, Mitho?
Yeah, no, it was on rapid repeat. There's no doubt, Joe. It was it was a great win and clever name, and I think my brother Ted came up with Count the Headlights. So yeah, your producer needs a little clip there. Rob needs a little clip. He pulled out of the song just as they were about to go with the line Count the Headlights down
the line. I did notice that. I thought I might have had to break out into song to finish it off, but I thought I'd spare the listeners that mytho. But, yeah, lovely. Colt now headed to the Blue Diamond.
Yeah, no, he's a ripper. We've always liked him. She was a mare that Clint McDonald trained, and he was particularly taken with. I remember Clint giving us a very strong push to go hard on Tani Dancer when she came through the Magic Millions mare sale a couple of years ago, and we steeled ourselves and went to uncomfortable places to buy her, but I think she might have produced us a good one here. Might have sort of got a bit carried away. It's a real speed family, and we were quite enamoured with Tavistock at the time, and the mating on paper looked okay, but probably type to type, that didn't quite work out as well as we would have expected for a first foal, and we sent in a written tycoon second time around, got a reasonable colt that unfortunately met his peril not long after we sold him, which is a shame. So second foal won't be adding to the pedigree, and now Count the Headlights is the third foal. So I think she might be a pretty handy broodmare in the making, and this is a pretty handy race horse for hopefully Blue Diamond Day.
Yes, with the Mar Eustace team just so dominant these days, what are their thoughts on the horse?
Yeah, they've always liked him. He's a bit of a lazy customer, and when I say that, just laid back and only does what he needs to do. They've suspected all along that there's been something under the bonnet, but he doesn't show it too often, which is a great trait to have if you can actually get them to produce it on the day when they need to. So hats off to the Mar Eustace team and all the crew down there at Cranbourne. I think he's based at the minute. It's hard to keep up with the Mar Eustace team and exactly where all their bases are, but he's been able to switch on with those blinkers, and you could see him just idling outside the favourite and the leader there yesterday. It was almost like it was sort of boy against men stuff watching it on the TV. He's such a mature sort of horse, and when he does let down, he's got a devastating turn of foot. So that'll hold him in really good stead for what is it, 5 weeks' time, I think, to the Blue Diamond. So the plan is to just freshen nicely, come back 100 metres, go into the 1100 of the Prelude in 3 weeks' time, and that should tighten him up fitness-wise. I thought on the TV and said to David after the race, he looked like he could do with the run and do with tightening up, and he agreed with that. So good signs ahead for a horse going forward, but he's still carrying condition, he's still learning his craft, and he might be one that's really peaking on the day.
Yeah, inside the 100 yesterday at the Valley, he really kicked up a gear, didn't he, once he balanced up in that short straight. So going to a bigger track will no doubt suit him as well.
Yeah, absolutely. He did look like the winner a long way out. So hopefully all that plays to our advantage, and we've got the right horse on the day. It's great that we got the support of Mar Eustace at the sales last year. We stayed in for a chunk of his horse, which we're very pleased about now. And Kieran and Dave were able to get Ozzie Kahir and his mates involved in the horse. And I spoke to Ozzie yesterday, and he was delighted. He bought three horses at Magic Millions last year. This guy, Cool and Gatter, and the other one, name escapes me, but won up the straight on New Year's Day in the two-year-old race. In Aussie's colours, the capitalist horse that is Blue Diamond bound as well, I think, Letiski or Letizi. He was seeing him like beach balls at last year's Magic Millions, that's for sure. So he's tickle pink, and it's great that we're involved, and we've got a splash of red on Aussie's colours just to sort of throw the Rosemont relevance in there as well.
Yeah, he's become a very powerful owner, hasn't he, Ozzie? He's got some horses.
Oh, no doubt, yeah. Well, I said to a few people beforehand, they said, what's with the colours? I said, well, if you can't beat them, let's join them. So joined up the colours with Aussie, and hopefully it'll be the first of many that we race together. We did the same with Wiley Dalziel a few years ago, and the first horse we raced in those combined colours with the line on the front of Wiley's colours was Mr Quickie. So hopefully Count the Headlights might be headed the same way to Group 1 glory. Wouldn't that be a story?
Yeah, absolutely. And Mytho, how did you end up faring at the Gold Coast on the buying and selling front?
Yeah, pretty good. We sold 11 of 11. We only took colts up there this year, and we were delighted with the results. It was if you couldn't sell a horse up there, I don't think you were made for this industry, because it was like shelling peas, really. Put them in the ring and let the market decide on the strength of such a strong market. And quite often when there's more buyers than horses, well, that's what happens. And clearance rate was through the roof. I'd never really experienced a sale like it, where it was as simple as putting them in the ring and letting the market decide what the number was. We sold our Frankel colt, was the best of our lot at 950, speaking of which, to Wiley Dalziel and Peter Moody. So talking of uncomfortable places, that's a bloody good effort for a syndicator that's obviously growing in size and stature and relevance in Wiley Dalziel. He's been around a long time, but he hasn't been buying horses at that sort of level. So I hope this brings him a bit of luck. I'm told that he's pretty well sold out, which is a good effort again. When you're talking about clients that are down a few steps and aren't really venturing into those realms. So that was really exciting to put that together with Moods and Wiley. And we bought some very nice horses. We ended up with four for the Victorian Alliance. A couple of nice colts. Again, go back to the well. We bought Brereton for $1 million, Zoo Star colt out of the Widden draft. We bought two Zoo Star colts for over $1 million this time around. So we had our tail in the air and a bit of confidence. Maybe too much confidence. Time will tell, I suppose. 12 months time, we'll see where we sit. But it was a great sale for all concerned, despite a bit of the spicy cough running around and getting in the way. But we've managed to navigate that and through the other side and on with getting a look at these lovely horses now that they're back in the rolling hills of Rosemont Stud.
Yeah, so much analysis naturally going on around this boom market at the moment. Mytho, what are your views on why it's performing so well? I mean, many are simply coming to the conclusion that it is the robustness and strength of the Australian racing offering as far as prize money goes that's ultimately attracting all of this investment in young stock that they hope will eventually get a slice of that prize money. But also, what influence do you think COVID now 2 years on has had on the way the market's playing?
Well, yeah, I think people have probably generally reassessed what's important to them in a real sense. You talk to these syndicators like Wiley Dalziel and they've never been busier. And I think that's a legacy of COVID. I think that is a real byproduct of people saying, what do I want out of life? If this is what the new normal is in the world, what do I enjoy? I enjoy time with my family, I enjoy going to footy, and I enjoy racing. And I want to get more involved in those things because I can still do those things. And what can I participate in and feel a real connection to? Well, racing, I can actually own a racehorse and feel a genuine part of the industry and part of the sport. So I think that's definitely driven market forces to a level. I mean, international strength of financial markets has got to sort of play its part at the top end. Now, whether or not that holds on, I'm no economist, but there are some doomsday forecasts out there, so we probably need to tread a little carefully there. But propping that up and counterbalancing that is the fact that Australian racing has never been stronger. There's never been more million-dollar races. Prize money's never been more accessible at a real level, and I think people are acknowledging that, saying, "Well, the prize money's strong, and the resale of bloodstock once you've turned it into a stakes winner is incredible. Be that a groupie or a filly or God forbid, you land a colt, you know, the sky's your limit. So I think all in all, it's a pretty healthy picture. There's real confidence in integrity, I think, around the country and what's going on. I think that's been managed beautifully by, you know, Racing New South Wales and Racing Victoria. So there's no concerns there from a you know, skullduggery point of view, and that might have lingered for a while. So I think it's a perfect storm of people coming together with industry confidence. Worldwide markets are strong, and there's more participants because people want to get involved and realise that life's too short.
Yeah. If only we could achieve the ultimate dream mytho and have a bit more unity on the administrative side of the industry here in Australia. And I see quite a number of the leading players are becoming quite vocal about the need for that in recent times.
Yeah, I've been banging on about this for ages. It's the one bugbear, I think, that all industry participants are annoyed about. Let's call the spade a spade. Peter Vlandis needs to drop his guard and start playing nicely. It's not all about New South Wales, and it can't be all about New South Wales. I get that he's the boss of New South Wales racing, but he's got to see a bigger picture and at least come to the table. He's not even going to the table at Racing Australia, which is an embarrassment, I think, for all of the participants in New South Wales to not have representation at the body that is supposed to be sorting out national issues. So that's a real concern, and I think there's growing disdain and distaste for that amongst those participants in New South Wales on that front. So hopefully that twig's about to snap, and we'll see some change on that front in 2022. But you know, once we can get a fully national calendar and get some unity and some camaraderie going between the states, I think you know, the last jigsaw puzzle will have fallen.
Well, John Massara has achieved many great things and success in Australian racing and breeding, but I think his crowning glory could be as the head of Racing Australia if he can bring all of those people to the table. I know at the moment he's probably spending a lot of time with his head in his hands just through sheer frustration.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Hopefully there's a bit of forest for the trees in the next 12 months, and the one man that's preventing that sees that forest and is able to come to the table, because it's holding a lot of things back, and it's frustrating for everyone in the industry, whether you're a punter or a big time investor. It doesn't really matter. I think it's incumbent upon the leaders and those in those positions to play their part and take up that responsibility. That's what they're there for, and that's the job they've got. And it's not just a job to hate on other states and run around bullying other people into the positions that suit them best. So hopefully we can sort that out sooner rather than later. And John's got a job on his hands, but he knows what the job is. So that's a start anyway.
Well said, Mytho. Thanks for joining us on the program this morning, and all the best with the continued campaign of Count the Headlights en route to the Blue Diamond now.
No, fingers crossed. Thanks for having me, Joey. See ya.
Interesting discussion there with Mytho Warren, particularly around the lack of unity on the national front in Australian racing. Interesting news during the week with Giles Thompson, the head of Racing Victoria, announcing that he won't be continuing on after the middle of this year. I think he's done a fine job in the role through very challenging times.
Yeah, I think that's about the tenure for those type of roles, isn't it? And, you know, there's probably other challenges for Giles ahead, and it doesn't hurt to revitalise those positions. But, yeah, I think it's just an old chestnut, and you get too sick of talking about it. All we want to hear now is when Racing Australia are meeting. We all know that it should be happening, Joe, but unfortunately in this time and at this time of the year or at this stage of the negotiations, it's not, but hopefully something can happen to break that ice sometime in the near future. We've got the Australia Stakes at Moonee Valley next Saturday, so Group 2 racing down here in Victoria at the Valley on a Saturday. It'll be a terrific day's racing there, Joe, and look forward to chatting to you post that meeting this time next week.
Excellent, Warren. Look forward to talking to you then. Have a great week.
Joe McKinnon, Talking Horse.